The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What's better than courtside seats? Free sports on Pluto TV. Hey, sports fans, get all your sports free on Pluto TV. Pluto TV is your home for sports. Watch 24/7 channels of MLB, MLS, MMA, sports news and analysis, plus documentaries, TV shows, and movies, all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts, ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or three-point. Buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
Hopefully no one was injured during the show open. Good grief. Welcome to the Big Shot Bob podcast. B-Dog Brandon Harper's here. My name's Rob Jenners. That's a guy maybe able to pick up some minutes somewhere than seven-time NBA champion Robert Ory.
No, welcome to you. I just sprained my pinky toe.
Oh, see, that's it. That's it. And now you're out for the series. Sorry.
Exactly.
He's out for the series. We're taping this show Wednesday morning. By the way, Mario Elie going to join us. In a little bit here.
Super.
We got to tape Mario Elie yesterday or the day before. Holy cow, that guy's got stories. Oh my God. what great stuff.
I love Mario to death. He was one of my, you know, we always talk about how, you know, Kenny and Vernon and Sam, but Mario is a guy that I really talk about, but I love him. He was just a solid dude, man. We always talk about guys that have your back.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys I never talk about, and I hate that I never do because I love Mario.
Speaking of Kenny, we're going to get to that later.
Oh, we're going to get to Kenny later. You know what? Let's not even wait. Brought it up. Let's start with it. I mean, now we have a ton of NBA stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
We got Chris Paul, Kevin Durant. I mean, just Kawhi. We got a lot. But apparently this happened last night on TNT. Go ahead and lay this out for
so,
us.
So, you know, as everybody knows, you know, Ory was on with the big podcast over there with Shaq about a week ago, and they played a clip talking about who was the actual voice and motivator of the Houston Rockets. And Kenny always claimed that he was, and obviously Ory and Shaq and even Chuck was like, nah, it was Vernon Maxwell. And you know, Kenny looks over at Chuck. He's like, you're not even on my team. How do you know? And they going all like this. And as they're cutting out and going to commercial or to leaving the show, he's like, I can't believe Ory said that. See, that's why I'm not coming on that podcast. See, that's why they want me to come on this podcast. And that's when I tweeted. I said, Ory, you need to text Kenny and get him on here because we need to talk about this together.
Oh,
yeah. You know, the thing about Kenny is. He talks a lot, and you love him. You know, he got great stories. And Kenny was supposed to be on the podcast, but he didn't call us back. So, you know, you don't do what you're going to say. I'm going to talk about you.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Kenny, until you come here and clear it up, I'm going to talk bad about you. That's how we do it.
We'll pull the curtain back a little bit. We were tentatively supposed to tape with Kenny last night during the playoffs, and he just didn't get back to us, so it didn't come together. So, I mean, of course, Kenny's always welcome. Want to have Kenny on the show.
Yeah.
Part of our quest to talk to everybody from the 95 Rockets. Damn it, we got to have Kenny. But a little strife there. A little bit of strife there. But I mean,
Kenny's a little, we call it butthurt.
Okay.
that he, you know, his stories didn't have no validity to him, that I didn't back him. You know, the thing about it is when you talk about voices in the locker room, you got to have those strong voices.
That's what I was going to ask.
Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a voice in the locker room because I didn't have a strong voice. And I just talked to individuals one by one. Those I felt like I needed to talk to. I don't need to go out and be this rah-rah guy. That wasn't me. And Kenny was like me. He wasn't a rah-rah guy. Vernon was a rah-rah guy. And when you say rah-rah, a lot of times people can take that the wrong way, saying, oh, he's just a hype guy. No, it's like, that's just a term I use. And it's just a team term that you get guys hyped up. And Kenny, he didn't have that hype type of voice. He doesn't have that rumble in his voice like a Vernon or a Mario does.
Well, I don't see Kenny as the guy that's going to get in your face and like grab you by the collar and be like, man, you got a D up. What are you doing? You know, like he doesn't come off that way. Vernon does. Yeah. Vernon comes off like a guy will smack you coming out of the shower just for the hell of it.
I tell you my very first NBA game, we played in Japan, right? We played in the Seattle Supersonics, who became my nemesis. I'm sick, throwing up, and Vernon looked at me. I don't fucking care if you're sick. You about to cover. You got to fucking play tonight, because I don't want these. Like, he just went at me, right? I'm sitting here like, okay. I'm like, he was like, I don't care if you're sick. Get out there and play. That's what
I'll
we do.
I'll slap the
NBA.
Flu out of your ass. Damn it. I'll get it out of there.
Yeah. Kenny wouldn't have said that. That's something like, no, Vernon. That was Vernon and Mario.
So. All right, well, we got Mario today, so we're going to talk to Mario Ellie in a few minutes here about a lot of that stuff about the 95 Rockets. But, of course, the podcast comes up on TNT last night. We did find out this morning that Chris Paul did get a positive test for COVID-19. So he's in health and safety protocol for the NBA. It looks like he's probably going to miss the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if he'll miss all of it or what the league protocol is, but right now, Chris Paul out.
I think it's what, like 10 games? I mean, 10 days?
I think
12
it's 10 days. Yeah, I think
well,
it's what it is.
From the report is that he did have a positive test. So if it's like, if it comes back with multiple positive tests, it could be like 2 weeks.
Yeah, because he's got to get a negative and then wait.
But, you know, the thing is, they're very lucky that it happened right now. And I guarantee you that the game's coming up with, Utah and Clippers. Yeah. I know there's only, three games left, maybe?
Yeah, they're tied at two.
So get this. Watch. There's going to be a game. There's going to be 2 days before the next game. And in that last game, one of these games is going to have 2 days before the game. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to give Chris an extra couple of days. He's going to miss all the Western Conference Finals. Let me tell you that right now. You know, the powers that be going to say, hey, slow that shit down. Because we need Chris Paul and our ratings, you know, because this is what it's going to be about, man.
Yeah, there's going to be a power outage somewhere.
Yeah. NBA is smart. They're going to make sure Chris Paul, if he has to be out that long, he's going to get back. He's not going to miss more than two games.
Okay. Yeah, you get a ref to swallow his whistle, extend that series a little bit, you know? Do what you got to do. What did you think of Kevin Durant's performance last night? That man went off. Damn, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. He was unconscious.
You know, this is why we always put him in debate as one of the best players ever played this game, because when he does things like this, you sit back, you're like, wow. And I love Kevin Durant because he's just not a 3-point shooter. He's just not a post-up guy. You know, I put him in the lines of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant because those dudes could use that pull-up jumper like crazy. You know, you got other superstars, and Kawhi's one of those guys too. And I know we're going to talk about his injury in a minute, that can do that pull-up jumper. And when you have that in your game, it makes you so dangerous because he'll hit you with a right cross, left cross, step back, you know, hezzy, then go to the hole and dunk. There's so many things this dude can do. He's a phenomenal basketball player.
Absolutely. Would it be a stretch? And I don't, you know, people are talking about this. You know how folks talk. Mm-hmm. When it's all said and done, or maybe even now, could KD go down as the greatest scorer of all time?
You know, it's going to be hard when you look across down the line and see James Harden there or Steph. I'm not going to say he's going to be the greatest, but he'd be one of the top five, you know, and he's going to be on that Mount Rushmore, as we always like to say, but he can do some of everything. He's amazing. And the crazy part is he looked like he about to break every time he moved. He's so skinny, though, man, you know?
Yeah, he is.
But, yeah. But on the real, though, I remember when he was coming out of UT and everybody was asking who should be the number one pick. And I'm like, you got to take KD. And they were like, oh, no, Odin. I was like, I don't care. I said, when you have a guy that comes out that is this phenomenal, can do so many things offensively and defensively, you got to take him. And I was like, think about it. Odin was not even averaging a double. He was averaging a double-double. It was a low double-double. And he's supposed to have been this big-time scorer at Ohio State. I'm like, no, you got to take KD. So, but we know Portland has a history
Sam, I'll take Sam, it. People Sam they're not supposed to take.
Sam Bowie. It's the Portland thing, it's, man.
It is. They're turning right now. But, you know, watching Durant, you're absolutely right. Watching Durant basically play every aspect of the floor is incredible. He's one of the few players I've ever seen that can do what you just described.
I want to address the other superstar on the other side, and that is Giannis Antetokounmpo. Look, and you know, he's been catching a lot of hell because, you know, the man had 34 points, 12 rebounds. You would think anybody else, man, he had a heck of a game, and he did. Mm-hmm. But see, when you enter that superstar world, you're going to get criticized for a lot of things that you didn't do. You could do a whole lot of stuff, but we're going to criticize you for what you didn't do. How do you not? You said after, you said at the post game conference, wow, the game's over. But how do you not say, you know what, PJ? Move out the way, dog. Let me get my time with KD. Let me dance with him for a bit.
You know, that's the one thing that I always respected about Clyde, you know, Mario, and especially Kobe. If you got a guy that's playing your position and he's giving you buckets, your team, not you, your team, when that fourth quarter rolls around, and then you're not in foul trouble, I got him. Because two things are going to happen. You're a better defender than the guy you've taken the place of. No disrespect to PJ because he's a hell of a defender. But think about it. Giannis is taller. He's just as quick as KD, and he can use his length. And so you got to do that, man. And for him to be like, oh, no, it's a coach's decision. No, you claim it's you to star this team, and you dictate who comes and goes on this team. So you should dictate who you guard. And that's the thing that separates, you know, when you say you're a two-time MVP, that's not an offensive MVP. That's an MVP that means you do it on both ends, you know, right, in my mind. So take it upon yourself. Say it with your chest. Go in there and say, I got him.
And a defensive player. And a defensive player of the year award.
Yes. Yeah. Which you shouldn't have won, but yes.
Look, all I got to say is this, man. Look, and, you know, and big fella Shaquille O'Neal has said it many times, forget coaching. At a certain point in time, forget the coach. I don't care about Coach Bud. Well, I'm following the coach. Nah, forget Coach Bud. I'm the superstar of this team. I want KD. We live and we die off what I do or what I don't do. And if he shoots it over me and he gets the best of me, at the end of the game, I can dap him up and say, good game. I can say that as a man to man. But I'm not finna let a 6'5 PJ Tucker sit up here and defend 7 foot Kevin Durant at the end. And
he's
7 feet.
Eating him up. Right. And he's eating him alive. Too.
And here's the thing. Think about this, though. This dude played the entire game.
Yep. Yeah.
He played 48 minutes. Yep. And so you should know he should be tired because he's putting in a lot of effort offensively and defense. And so you should be licking your chops because you go and you guard him in the fourth quarter when he's already a little bit weary. Mm-hmm. And you be like, oh, look, I shut KD down in the fourth quarter. You know, you can brag about that even though you really didn't shut him down, you know, in the whole game. But it's going to appear that way because, you know, we all dialed in the fourth quarter when it got close and said, oh, what's happening? So.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, interesting series with the two of them. And I didn't know how Brooklyn was going to fare with Harden on one leg, and we're going to talk about Kyrie in a minute because I've got audio from Big Baby that is just wild that I want to play for you guys in a minute because Big Baby was fired up, man, and he's catching all kinds of hell for it.
I worked out once with Big Baby, and so Big Baby should just, you know, be Big Baby.
Did you know when you said you worked out with him? Did you work out and he watched?
And we were running the hill, right?
Oh, so he definitely watched.
Yeah, we were running the hill. I look over, he's like, it's too hard.
Yeah, no, just downhill.
Like, dude, we just started. That's the warm up. He's like, it's too hard. Like, but you know, he probably wasn't used to the Texas heat. And we were out there on the hill and we were running, and he was like, nah, this is too hard. He had to go sit in the shade.
Blame it on the heat. Yeah, that was definitely probably the problem that it's hard right there. And then the other big news today before we get over to Mario Elie was Kawhi going to miss game 5 with the knee, the banged up knee. Is that, I mean, obviously, humongous blow to the Clippers. What do you do now? Like, where do you put your weight on Paul George now and go, okay, get. This is time. Let's get your contract money. Let's go earn it.
Well, you know, this is, for me, you want to be called Playoff P. This is where you can cement that name. The name you gave yourself.
I was going to say.
Right now, if you're able to step
you that
up.
Nickname, man.
Yeah. If you're able to step up and carry this team to victory without Kawhi, I will anoint you part of that.
I'll call you P. Not playoff P.
Not playoff
yet.
P, but you get P. The P.
You got to earn the playoff by winning another game.
The nighting, and then you have to earn the other. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But I, you know, the crazy part about it, I, you know, think about this. You know, when he was Indiana, he was just playing his game. He was able to take LeBron to game seven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if he's able to do that with LeBron, and he, his Clipper team was a little bit better than the Indiana Pacers team that he was on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can, if he goes out and just plays, he can do it. I like him as a player. I really do. For anybody to come back from a devastating injury like he had,
mm-hmm,
and still able to put up numbers and deal with all the media and everything, I'm rooting for the guy, because I don't want anybody to catch flack like that, especially when after you meet them, get to know them, and they're a nice guy. So I hope he can carry him and get and earn that name, Playoff P.
Well, the latest report is they said Kawhi may have an ACL injury. Mm. And ooh, they're expecting him to be out indefinitely. So that's definitely not good. But when it comes to Paul George, look.
Not.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. For the betterment of the league, because this year has been all about war of attrition, about who can be healthy at the right time. But with Paul George, look, I love his game. I like his athleticism. I like the way that he plays. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Ain't no way in the world y'all going to put all this weight on this man's shoulders at this point in time, and y'all think y'all gonna ride this man to the Western Conference Finals. I wish y'all might think something like that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna bet money I don't have. Matter of fact, Rob, let me borrow some money, and then I'm gonna bet it.
Your own bet Rob's money against him.
I'm gonna bet Rob's money, and then we gonna see.
Okay. You know, hey, never. You know, I'm hoping that he can step up so he can get some of these haters off his back, because I don't think a lot of these guys who are hating on him, you probably can't even put him in a gym and say shoot 100 shots. They'll probably make two. And
oh, so, yeah.
So I would say most of those people ain't seen a gym. So, yeah. You know, it's like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're still talking about the 1 or 2% of, even though we ridicule and, you know, as people in the media and sports, we have these conversations. At the end of the day, those are still 1 to 2% of the people who actually can do what they do.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, but talking about other NBA news, this is one of my pet peeves.
Uh oh.
Okay.
You know, Stan Van Gundy got fired.
Oh, yes. So there were some coaching changes today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And for me, I think he should be done coaching. I'd never met him. I don't know who he is, but I'm just speaking as a former player. When you keep recycling these coaches and you haven't won anything, I can understand you recycle like Phil Jackson, Popovich, or these guys who've won titles.
Mm-hmm.
But when you keep recycling these guys who've gone from organization to organization, who barely make the playoffs, and it gets to a point as a player, me speaking from player, I don't want this guy as a coach, because it's like you have a losing record. You haven't done anything for this organization,
mm,
you know, so stop recycling these coaches. I hope they should put it like you have a 3-team minimum. So if you coach 3 teams and you flat out suck and you get fired, you should not be allowed in the NBA again. You can be an assistant coach, but you cannot be a head coach. And I know that's wrong for me to say, because that's going to, you know, and I say that because there's a lot of coaches out there. I feel like Sam Cassell should be right there in the running. Mark Jackson should get another shot. There's so many other guys.
Yeah, but you said yourself, guys like Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
You've had a couple shots at this. How many times? But I think, to me, that's more on an organization than it is on the league. Yeah, this is who you're going to hire? This is what you're going to do? All right, it's your money. Go nuts.
Yeah, but the NBA can help out, too, sometimes. You know, the NBA always likes to put their, you know, their 2 cents. Put your 2 cents in.
Chris Paul. To the Lakers. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Just a little cough.
That thing, everybody always blames the league, but it wasn't – everybody said it was David Stern's fault. It wasn't David Stern's fault. People forget. The owners had the vote, and mm-hmm, the owners voted for Chris Paul to not go to the Lakers, because, you know, the teams around the league, they hate certain teams. Like, there's nobody in the league that's going to help the Boston Celtics out.
Right.
They're not going to help the Lakers out. They're not going to help the Knicks out. Those 3 teams are teams nobody's going to help out because of the history and what goes on there. So the NBA was like, oh, we can get Chris Paul. Oh, the league was – the NBA as a whole, like, no, they're too good. Chris Paul and Kobe Bryant, no.
Not going to happen.
But see, I provide some pushback on the coaching thing, because, you know, you mentioned guys like Phil and Pop, but those type guys don't get recycled because they try to keep them there. they try to stay in one location as long as they possibly can because their fan base is like, ain't no way in the world we're letting these guys go. These are legendary coaches who everybody would want. So why would we let them go? Let's keep them here as long as they possibly can. But guys like Mike D'Antoni, who's had a lot of coaching jobs, he'll be back in the rotation once again.
He should be done. He should be done, too.
Oh, no, he won't be done.
He won't,
you know, but I always laugh, like, well, he has a great offensive mind. I'm like, okay, yeah, offensive mind, sit your ass over there and be an assistant coach. You know, because now you get an offensive mind. Think about it. He had all these great teams. He ain't won shit. Stop recycling. Look, think about it. He has some of the greatest guards. He had a good team in L.A. and refused to coach the team instead of just coaching the system. You know, so stop recycling these damn coaches. There's too many other people out there who can be eligible to coach and who are good coaches. Get them a chance, man. That's all I'm saying.
We're going to talk about some of these guys in a minute, too, coming up. We've got audio, I said, from Big Baby. I've got some Charles Barkley audio to play for you. A couple of cuts for That's Unfortunate this week as well. So going to get to all of that right after we talk to the legend, Mario Elie.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. Those other mobile companies make you think you're in control when you're really not. They lure you in with shiny new phones and then lock you into long-term contracts. But Simple Mobile is different. You can get a 30-day plan starting at $25. You can also get the latest smartphones, or if you have a compatible phone you love, you can bring it. Just text BYOP to 611-611 to see if your phone is compatible. It's the reliability you need when you need it. All on a powerful nationwide 5G network with no mystery fees, no activation fees, and no contract ever. All for less money and no contract ever.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network is not available in all areas. 5G upload speed not yet available. Message and data rates may apply. Visit simplemobile.com/privacy policy for the privacy policy. Service plan required for activation. Terms at simplemobile.com.
Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
Super! Man, the gray looking nice on you, man.
Yeah. I'm like looking at you. You don't age, dog.
Hey, if I turn to this way, you can see it. You can see it. There it is. There it is.
It's creeping in slowly.
You don't age. I'm like, man.
So part of our quest, I think, to talk to everybody from the 95 Rockets, Mario Elie.
So they might not win another one. Might as well talk to me, Rob. Burn his ring. It may be a while before they get another chip down there.
Hey, it'd especially be a while before they even make the playoffs look like it, man. I'm like, what's going on?
Facts.
Too much.
Facts. I think people sometimes forget, you know, you might not play for a team or do anything, but you still have love for a team when you win a championship. Day. Like, no a question. Part of you is still there. You want them to win. When they just flat out suck, it hurts you, man.
Yeah, my boys were killing me this year from New York, Rob. They're like, what's up with your Rockets? I had no response, bro.
What can I say? I don't know.
I said, you just league team. I said, we got a league team.
It's a for sale sign in the front yard.
Okay. Can we get Chris Paul back?
Yeah. What happened to the beard? Can we get that guy back in town? Shit.
Okay.
Yeah, for real. Well, I mean, we're talking about Houston, so I guess we could start there. You know, I mean, damn. You guys came in. I think Rob was telling us you and Sam came in probably the year after Rob got drafted, and that's obviously when you guys went on that run. When did you kind of know the makeup of that team? Like, when did you guys figure it out and kind of start to hit your stride?
Training camp, man. We had some competitive guys on our team. I just remember, quick story, I was with Portland the year before, and we lost to San Antonio. I drove up to Seattle to see that game 7 against the Rockets and Sonics, and I'm like, man, Rockets got a good team. So it's funny, I went to watch him because me and Vern was cool. And then I get a call that summer, and then I'm in Houston, and I'm like, man, I go play with Elijah. And then when I got to camp, I saw Robert, I saw Vernon, I saw Sam and Kenny and Otis. I'm like, man, we got a good squad, very competitive, hard playing guys. And we had a good feeling coming out of camp. And it started 15-0. We were right. We came out the gate blazing.
And Robert can tell you, how they going to give us a back-to-back New York and Atlanta, right, Rob? We might have still been winning, man.
Yeah. We could have been probably like 21-0.
More than that night, man. I said, ain't no way we're going to beat the Hawks after stomping Ewing and them in the garden. So
and, it was like the pre for the finals, and I think the Knicks were so mad. Mario, I don't know if you remember. You know, we sat at the airport for like an hour and a half before they even let us on the tarmac to go to. That's how mad the city of New York was that they beat us.
They held your flight.
That's why we got there so late. I was wondering why we got to Atlanta so late. We got there like 3:30 in the morning. I'm like,
yeah,
we Robert, they did hold us in New York for like almost 2 hours.
Yeah. And the crazy part is we got to Atlanta, man. We were tired. Atlanta had a good team. They had Dominique. They had Kevin Willis. They had Doc. They had Smitty on that team.
They had Mookie Blaylock.
They were good. Okay. I think they went to like the Eastern Conference Finals that year. So, but it, they were good that year. Man, they beat the brakes off us.
They sure did, Rob.
You know what's bad when the player on your team, Eric Riley, had the best game out of everybody on that team. Like, you know something wrong.
Yeah, we dusted off 42 that game, boy. Yeah.
And Mario, I just want to ask, like, you know, I've asked a lot of guys who come onto this show, you know, the different dynamics between when you all played and what the league looks like today. You know, we saw Joker the other night get a flagrant two and was ejected for the hand swipe going. I don't know if you saw that going up against one of the Suns' role players. And I know back in the day, something like that, you know, a lot of people say he was going for the ball. Something like that back in the day would have been a common foul, you know, in the 80s
and
90s.
Might not even get a foul. Well, you just play on. You know, it's a play on. You know, it's a play on. But it's just hard to judge the eras. I just felt the 90s eras was the best era ever, you know. And I know they're trying to, you know, Steph Curry revolutionized the game and all that stuff. But if dudes do their NBA history, Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas, how good Isaiah Thomas is. I know everybody's picking Steph Curry. He revolutionized the game. Isaiah Thomas beat Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and they primes. Yeah. They need to, I know what he did in the Palace was awful. You always congratulate a team after they win. I think that's sticking with them, unfortunately. And I got a pleasure Hall of Fame weekend to spend the weekend with the great Isaiah Thomas, man. And that dude is a class act, just a great human being, had a great time with him. But he doesn't get enough credit. I'm an old school NBA. Bernard King, you know what I'm saying? Kareem, you know, Magic, Worthy. You know, all these guys were just – back then, all the threes were Robert size, you know. Larry Nance at the three for the Cavs. Dominique Wilkins, 6'9 at the three. Bernard, 6'8", 6'9 at the three. Bird, 6'10 at the three with the Celtics with him and McHale. I mean, those are real front line. These front line – Draymond Green is 6'4 and can guard centers in this league. I can imagine Draymond switching on Olajuwon, Barkley, Carmelo. It's over.
Eat him up.
It's over if he switch on. I mean, Anthony Davis, he can't post up Draymond Green. Are you serious? So those are sort of the qualms I got with nowadays players, you know, and the low management, guys getting hurt. You know, it's a different era. Because when I went to training camp, it was 2.5 hours a day, right, Rob, for a whole week.
Yes.
One contact practice a day. We don't want to work the guys too hard. To me, I feel that's why guys are getting hurt.
I feel the same.
Training camp is a time when you really get into shape. You really get into NBA season condition. And with the soft training camps these days, I mean, a lot of guys are getting hurt. A lot of guys are getting hurt in low management. You're getting $30, $40 million a year, man. Love this game and play. Be on the floor. One thing when we played back in the day, Rob, we took pride in playing 82 games. Guys wanted to be on the floor. That was a big thing back in our era, to play a full season. Guys are taking games off. National team. You play on national TV, you taking a game off? Come on, man. The fans, man. It's about the fans, man. It ain't about you.
Well, it was definitely a different era of NBA then, if it was about the fans in the 90s, because today it's about the contracts. It's not about how much am I getting paid. Not about, hey, Mario, how much do you get the kiss of death around Houston. How often does that happen? It's got to happen a time. Got to happen a time.
Nonstop. What's great, man, Robert said it. When you win for the first time in your city, you're golden in that city. Still to this day. You know, I took my son to a John Lucas workout this morning. And you know how John is, Rob. You know, he's on my son. He said, Mario Ellie got a name in this town. Don't be messing up your child's name. He's known for the kiss of death. And that's 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're still relevant, which is great. It's good to hear the people talking about Robert for the Hall of Fame. I mean, 7 rings. Come on, man. Come on, man. The dude he wasn't waving a towel like ML Carr. Robert was impactful on all 7 of those championship teams, man. So that got to be in consideration, man. It's one of the greatest winners. Come on. Give me a break, man.
I always say this to a lot of people. I say, I blame Mario for all the antics now, because after your kiss of death shot, you know, nobody ever did anything when they made a 3. You think about it. You made a 3, you got your ass back. After your kiss of death shot, everybody want to have these antics when they shoot a 3. And I'm like, I blame Mario Ellie for that shit, man. You just shot it.
Hey, Rob, it's funny you say that, Rob, because Nick Bavetta during the timeout came up to me and said, I could have gave you a tech on that. That's taunting. And he did not. He came up to me. I don't know. One of the refs came up to me and said, that wasn't cool, you know, to do that. That was on the 20. Who cares, right, Rob?
Exactly.
We're down 3-1. They talking mess. We got the last laugh and send them home, baby.
I don't even know. A lot of people know this. We were in game 4. Game 4, when we went down 3-1. That was after we got that win. And then Danny Ainge did that nasty shit to Mario. And Mario had to have a lot of cool, because I know me. Every time I see Danny Ainge, I'd be whipping that ass.
But I don't know how you can whip his ass on the floor.
I love when Rob threw the towel in his face. That's my boy right there.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, people don't understand. Like,
I said, that's my man right there.
This is how much love we had for Mario and the team, because people don't realize it. And when we went down 3-1, that game, we went down 3, we didn't even care. Our whole thing was to try to punish Danny Ainge that game. I mean, he came off screens. We were taking fouls because that was all we was trying to do.
Just put him on the floor.
On the floor. And then we went down 3-1. But after we got our punishment, it kind of scared him because he knew we didn't fucking care. We were coming at his throat, and we were trying to knock him out. And
hey, Rob, I'm watching some of those games. You hitting them with an elbow, Vernon hitting them, I'm hitting them, Kenny, Stan, everybody took their shots on them. And that's what made our team great, man. We had each other's back. Even when our backs was against the wall, ain't nobody pointing fingers on our team. We always have belief. You know, when we're in the corner, we relish being in the corner. We had so many mentally tough players, Rob stepping up one game, Vernon, Kenny, Sam, me. We always had a guy beside our great center and Akeem Olajuwon, and then Clyde came the next year. We always had guys stepping up. That was the great thing about that back-to-back championship team, man. We always, always had guys stepping up. Robert, 95. Robert don't score the whole game. He hit the biggest shot in the game in San Antonio, Western Conference Final.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, always we had guys always ready to make the big play.
And like you said, you know, refs, you know, came down and said, you know, I could have given you a tech for that. And I'm glad that he didn't. You know, I'm, you know, not only just working in media, but also being a fan of this game. I like those moments where guys can, you know, kiss of death. You know, guys can do other things that historically people will remember. And the league tried to not take those things away from those guys. This is a game. I understand sportsmanship, but I also understand showmanship. You know, being able to do the thing.
Emotion. Like, right. If a guy get dunked on, let him just stare at him real quick and run down court.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Dude make a great block. Let him stand down real quick and run down court. You know, pick his pocket. You know, he try to chase you down and dunk. I remember Jason Williams at Sacramento. I was in San Antonio at the time. He picked my pocket. And I went, man, you know when you get stripped, Rob, you run down fast.
Hard as hell.
This dude quick dumped it on me, Rob, and grabbed some popcorn on the way up. Put some popcorn out for him. He grabbed some popcorn, yo, and I made quarts out of that. And I'm like, man, like you said, it's entertainment. Let guys show their emotion just a little bit, especially now. The refs are so sensitive now. Players can't even talk to the referee, man. You know, let guys, especially in the playoffs, it's intensity. Every possession is very valuable. Guys should be able to let it out just a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Unless you take it like Shaq and Chris Dudley, where he dunks on him and throws him to the floor.
Swing the legs and everything in his face. I love that.
And then just shove him to the floor. That.
Because if that's the case, Sean Kemp should have got a technical for every time he dunked on somebody.
Hey, big boy, I'm glad you said that, because I was playing with the Warriors when Sean Kemp shot Alton Lister down.
Oh.
He shot him down. He dunked on. That's cool, right?
That's great.
Remember that.
That's great. You can't do that in today's NBA. You just can't.
That's crazy.
You just absolutely can't.
I tell her, like, I talk about this the other day when we were playing in the finals. You know that play we used to have where they put me in the middle and we playing the Knicks and Vernon threw it over the top for the dunk. Yeah. And then I yelled in Oakley's face and I was like, yeah. I'm like, I just realized that's Oakley. Number one, I could have got knocked the fuck out. And number two, I could have got a tech. And like, but you know, the emotion of the game, you get caught up in emotion sometimes. And I think if refs who have played the game were refing and they understand, okay, there's going to be moments where you get caught up in the moment and you're going to have some, you know, some antics or some, you're going to let those emotions out and to let it go. But if you keep doing stuff, then that's when I say, okay, you know, let them know that, you know, that you're going too far. But one time, you got to let it slide, man, because that's what we did on the park. That's how we had fun. That's why we love this game. That's why we go out and work so hard to get good at things so we can have those moments where we can shine and say, hey, you know, this is my thing. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Preach.
Before we move off of Houston, you had the nickname Junkyard Dog with the Rockets. I always love players' nicknames. Who gave it to you? How'd you get that nickname?
Well, I think it just came from the team. I'm a guy, I mean, everybody knows my story. It took me 5 years to get to the NBA. I was a 7th round draft pick. I was the second last player drafted. So when I finally made it to the NBA, I always felt I had to prove myself. So every time I touched the NBA floor, first and foremost, I appreciated being in the league. Second, I didn't want to cheat the game. You know, I wanted to play hard. I had great teammates throughout my career. I didn't want to let my teammates down. I didn't want to let my coach down. So when I stepped on the floor, I felt I had to prove myself that I belonged. You know, and I always held that chip on my shoulder and played hard. I did whatever it took for the team to win. Put me on the hardest guy. I think they call me Junkyard Dog because when I guard a guy, I'm on him. You know, I'm on him. I take it very seriously, my job. So very just approach the game with it. Just growing up in New York too, playing in the parks of New York, no blood, no foul,
yep.
You know, getting that mentality. So when I stepped on the court, I wasn't afraid of nothing. You know, I just wanted to compete, help my team win. And that's how I developed the Junkyard Dog mentality. Dunking, like Rob said, dunking, screaming at guys, you know, playing good defense. Mm-hmm. And just was a scrapper. You know, P.J. Tucker's like that right now. Jay Sean Tate, the young kid from Rockets, are right now. So I'm glad that people, you know, sort of emulated me. I remember P.J. Tucker coming to me. My coach said, I need to be just like you. Play defense and hit threes. So, and that's why he wears 17. So I'm pretty honored because of that.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know, when you get guys to actually say they want to play like you, because you know you got guys in this league now, I want to be like Bird, Magic, MJ, Kareem. But when you have a guy, you know, I don't think y'all understand where Mario was drafted. You know, it's like an NFL draft. He was like
exactly.
So far down the list that most of the time they just drafted those guys just for the hell of it, you know, and for him to grind. And that's why when you're playing with a guy like Mario, I remember playing against him in Portland. I'm like, oh shit, this dude nasty. I don't want to go up against him. I'm like, put Clifford Robinson back on me. Mario on me, man. And so, you know, you got guys like that, and then you know, Mario's got that distinctive voice too. You got that, he get on the court, it's gritty and it's grimy. He's like, and then you know, New York, all these things come into play. You're like, fuck. But when you get him on your team, you know that he has that dog mentality. I remember the one time when I really know this dude was special. We was playing in Denver. And he went up, and your favorite guy, B, is the guy with the fresh cut, took him out the air. Mario arm is literally dangling like this, and we got to hold him back
from going out there on the court and whooping Jalen's ass, because that's how he was. You know, Jalen Rose took him out the air and
undercut me.
Yeah. Ooh. Took him out the air, and we had to hold him back from going. When he realized it was broken, he was going to get his ass.
Whoa.
Yeah. That when you got a guy like that, you know you got a guy that's going to come out there and fight hard for you each and every night.
Mm. How'd you not whip Danny Ainge's ass then? I don't understand that. Somebody hit you. I mean, he hit you so hard upside the head.
It took everything. I knew I was going to get suspended if I jumped on us. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to jeopardize my team. I didn't want to miss a game. And like Robert said, the rest of the series,
oh yeah,
if you watch it, we were hammering him.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I love my team. Man. They have my back. I remember the NBA calling me. They said, we're going to fine Danny 10 grand. I told the league I was ready to whip his ass. You know, I told the league that when they called me.
I don't know how you lucky.
Yeah.
It's safe.
I got the last laugh. Yeah. I got the jewelry. So.
Yep. There you go. Right.
And the thing about that, the refs were holding that whistle boy and they were turning their head like, no, you caused that on yourself. Yeah. they knew what happened.
Don't be looking at us.
You go get your ass.
Hey, let me tell you how karma works. Like you said, he threw the ball in my face. And in the second year, when I hit the kiss of death, he was guarding me. He went to double Kenny in the backcourt. That's why I was able to get the kiss of death. My boy right here spotted his boy in the corner. My man, Big Shot Rob. And Danny Ainge, he didn't learn from leaving, what's his name from the Bulls? What's his name? Paxson. He left Paxson to go John help Paxson, on Grant. So he left me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm looking at Danny Shays. You going to let me shoot or I'm going to dump it off the dream? What you think he did? He ain't leaving Elijah.
He ain't going near you. Not after that. No. Nope. That's it.
Well, it's good to see that Danny Ainge is so well loved by a lot of guys.
He is. He is. Hey, man, Free Rollins, Sedell, three. I give Danny Ainge credit. He's tough. But he got whipped by a couple of cats. I remember Sedell, three, put him on his back. With the overhand right in Philly. Put him on his back. But that's old school NBA, baby.
Yeah. How did you, when you went to San Antonio, we talked to Rob a little bit about this, just about Pop's system and how, you know, Rob, you've said before, like you kind of felt maybe a little out of place at times in that system. Mario, how'd you play in Pop's system?
It was weird. Rob is right. It's just a different organization. They know what kind of player they want. They play through their bigs. I remember when first signing there, leaving the Rockets, Jaren Jackson was starting in front of him. And Avery Johnson was the one who sort of facilitated the deal for me to go down there. I said, yo, give me 2 weeks. This is going to be my job. We go 6-9. Pop's on the verge of getting fired. Nobody knows this story. He said, we're making a change in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. We go put Mario in. So we go 14-0. The stretch I'm there, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah.
But being there, just really nice guys. I'm coming from Houston. We on the plane. We gambling. We drinking. Music is blasting. Boy, you get on that Spurs plane, Wall Street Journal, my man 5-0 reading the Bible, Tim, Malik showing the plane video games like they 2 years old. Here I am. Ready to get wild with my teammates. Well, Avery's a Bible beater too. So I'm like, what kind of team is this? I'm going to win a championship. So I sort of, when we were 6-8, I sort of called out Tim and Dave, you know, in the media. And they killed me the whole year. And I just wanted them to get tougher. They did. And I remember Pop at the end of the year when we won it, he pulled me aside. He said, Mario, thank you. I said, for what? For challenging those two guys, for being I had credibility because I won 2 championships. So I went in that locker room and said, things have to change. You two have to be tougher. Avery, stop shaking everybody's hand and talking to him before the game. Rob, it was so funny. By the time we got to the playoffs, Avery took his chair and was sitting in the shower, would not talk to nobody before the game. He went, hey, how you doing? Boy, he was so locked in, Rob. And that's leadership, and that's a guy who's been there. And so it was a little weird at first. Robert knows San Antonio is just different. They do things different.
Yeah. But I remember, it's funny you said that. I had the same story. I remember we was in the
Utah had beat us like twice, and Carlos Boozer was killing Tim. And I'm in there, I called him out in practice. I thought, you fucking soft, man. And he and then Tim started trying to throw elbows at me in practice. Yo, you want to throw fucking elbows at me? Do that shit in Boozer when you get in the fucking game. You know, and I'm like in his ear right the whole game. And Pop's like, yeah, Rob, tell him. Right. So then the next game, Pop starts me. It's like he hadn't started me all year. And against Utah, we start. I'm like, yeah, Boozer's gonna fuck you up. Like I'm telling Tim that Tim goes out and have one of his best games. I'm like, dude, why do I have to motivate you? Why does one of your teammates have to motivate you? If someone's been kicking my ass two or three times, that's going to motivate me. Plus, I'm supposed to be the greatest power forward to ever play this game. There's no fucking way Carlos Boozer is going to give me numbers. And sometimes in the organization, you had to, because they're so fucking nice. And you can't be mad at them because they're nice, because that's what you want to be around. You want to be around genuine, nice people, and that's what they are. But somehow, someone, you got to have someone to infiltrate that team and put a little nastiest Pop say in them. You had to get into their ear like, yo, man, you got to be a dog, man. You got to be a little bit nasty. And even though Bruce Bowen was that guy, but he wasn't the type of guy to get in your ear to bring out that dog in you. So that organization was – you. I love playing there, but they were a little different.
Rob, let me ask you something. Did you play with Captain Jack?
No, I was gone.
Oh, you missed him. Okay.
Yeah.
See, that's the type of guy they need. You know, a guy with a little edge. He brings edge, like you said, Rob. Come on, Tim. We don't need the Pop to be cussing to get you going, right? Well, that's what used to happen sometimes. And that's Tim. Yeah. That's how you wake up. That's why you wake up a sleeping giant. Once you wake him up, it's over.
Right. I'll say this, Mario, and it's glad that you brought that up. You know, when it comes to, you know, you motivating, you know, a lot of the stars and the guys who are supposed to lead your pack. You know, you and Big Shot are the same, because he would talk about how, you know, he would get on Big Fella, get on Shaq, you know, when it came to certain situations. And the fact that Shaq had the respect for Rob, B. Shaw, Rick Fox, to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to listen to these dudes because I always know that they want the best for me and I respect them, what they've done in the league, versus some other guy saying it and Shaq looking at you like you just the dumbest fool on the block. So hearing that story from you to Tim and David Robinson it's mirror image of what Rob was to Shaq when he was with the Lakers and other places that he's been to through. So I think that's dope.
It is dope because that's what you bring to the table. You've been there. It's like what Chris Paul's bringing to Phoenix. These guys ain't been that far.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that veteran that's in here who've been through the wars, you know, Rob been through the wars, man. So that's why when he go talk to Shaq and Kobe, them, they like E.F. Hutton, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're going to listen. Yeah. And when I went to San Antonio, I challenged those guys, and they started listening. When we started getting success, we started being tougher. We end up being the number one defense that year, you know. So it makes a difference. That one guy does make a difference for a ball club. And you see what's happening with Phoenix with Chris Paul, man. It's beautiful to see.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you say you bring in that tough. I remember, you know, when you playing against Mario and he had went to San Antonio and I'm in L.A. And, you know, you never like to have that last game. And
all of a sudden, swept y'all, bro. Yeah.
All of a sudden, you hear that voice. All of a sudden, you hear that voice. Yeah, we shut the farm down. We shut the farm down. Yeah, we want to laugh. I'm like, Mario, shut the fuck up, man. I'm like, that's all I can hear. I'm like, man, I'm so pissed that we lost the last game. We got swept too. And all I have is Mario. Yeah, we shut the farm down. I'm like, man, that is. And I'm saying shut the fuck up. And I'm also laughing like, that's Mario. You know what I mean?
Hey, Rob, it's funny you say that. I'm watching Shaq last night, and he said, man, I got swept a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I was on two of them teams that swept Shaq.
That's right.
Yeah. Us in 95 and us in 99.
Yeah.
Give me Kobe and y'all. We brought the Jaren Jackson, Rob. The Jaren Jackson story, right?
Yes.
He couldn't miss that series.
I was like, what's going on? You know, it's for San Antonio always has that one guy that can't miss. I remember we played them. The year they beat us 6-1 on my last year in with the Lakers. That damn Bruce Bowen couldn't miss either. I mean, every time Kobe left him, he was just bop, bop. I'm like, yo, who are you, dude? Then I get to San Antonio, this motherfucker can't throw it in the ocean. Where that fucking Bruce Bowen at? You know, so.
That's great. All right, listen, man, before we let you run, we ask everybody, what's your favorite Robert Horry story that you can tell? So many guys go, well, I got like 10. I can't tell.
Even ones that you can't tell.
I mean, Robert was cool, man. I used to run with the streets with Vernon. I never even, me and Vernon and Sam, we were road dogs, man. Robert was just a cool dude, man. Robert was just butter. I mean, the moment was never too high. I just love Robert, even Kill. The only thing I do remember about Robert, we used to call him Will Smith all the time, the Fresh Prince, when he had the little fade.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
We used to call him the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm like, Rob looks just like 6'10 Will Smith, man. Yeah. That's who Rob is, man.
He does.
But there's a Photoshop coming of this. I can smell it.
Yep. But it was me and Vernon and Sam running them streets, so.
Yeah,
funny when you have teammates you still close, but certain guys, you know, like Dream. I played with Dream 5 years. I may have saw him 2 times on the road. He's always in his room.
Yeah,
there were certain guys that would just chill. You know, back then Robert had kids also. See, I was single. I had no girlfriend, no kids. So Rob had responsibilities back in those days. He had a couple kids, so. I really didn't get this, you know, I saw him on the court in practice. You know, we'll sort of see each other out once in a blue.
Yeah.
But Robert was low key, man. Robert was low, man. Yeah. Robert was under the radar. He did it right. Robert was under the radar, man. Yeah.
But Mario and I do have the famous photo in Houston, though, where, you know, if you look at the photo, he and I, we took a picture. I'm holding, this is a 95 championship trophy. I'm having it. I'm half drunk in the picture because I had a bottle of champagne.
Champagne, bad baby.
Yep.
But yeah, it was. Mario, did you ever get the whole, you know, the reason I held the trophy so much in 95, because I never touched the 94 trophy. I never saw it. That's why when you saw it in 95, I was holding that mug tight.
I saw you holding that like it was your child. Like, Rob, like, yo, I ain't get to do it the year before. You right, Rob?
Yeah.
When I see him at events now, Rob, I really appreciate him now. When I go to a Rocket event, and I see those two globes, and it brings back just instant great memories. Mm-hmm. I touch him. I just look at them, man. We accomplished something great, man, me and you.
Yeah.
And they love special. You in this city, bro. You walk around the Toyota Center. It's me, Robert, Vernon. It's not the current team. It's 25 years ago. They got us all over the building, and it's great to go to games and see that. But great teammate, Roz, my boy. We still friends to this day. When you win a championship, those are the bonds it builds. You know, I'm still cool with Vernon, Sam. Sam need to be a head coach soon. Come on, Doc. Don't be messing up this series. We got to get through this round so Sam can get a job next year.
Well, Mario, we in Atlanta, so if we have anything to say about that, we're hoping that this series is extended a little
My
bit.
My bad, fam.
No, it's cool.
My bad.
It's cool.
Give Nate McMillan his flowers, please.
Oh, B-Dog's been screaming, man.
Give an extension, please. Yep. What are y'all waiting on?
I'm
very impressed with Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of Clint. Need more from Collins, though, this series. Need more from Collins.
Yes.
No, you need what's from the foreign – what's his name? Derlinger? What's his name? Gallinari.
Danilo Gallinari.
What's his first name?
Danilo.
Okay. See, that's why I said Danilo, because that's the only reason they won that first game, because he stepped up. He has to step up, man. He has to play big and stop playing like a Porzingis.
That seems like a shot.
These 7-footers playing like they point guards. Preach, Rob.
Well, that's
hey, but his thing, one old thing tomorrow, you know, I saw, you know, I always check out guys, and I was checking out something the other day, and Sean Marion was talking, like, yeah, you know, we started the small ball thing and this. I said, let me call up Mario and Sam and Kenny and Clyde and tell them, do you realize we the ones that started that shit?
Preach.
And I'm like, okay. We were balling. And Mario at the 3. I was at the 4. You know, we started that small ball stuff.
That all that space. And when y'all double number 34, Rob, Mario Elliott, Sam Cassell, Kenny Smith, we were licking our chops at that 34 and 9. We were waiting. We were ready.
So, yeah, I feel like if that, you know, we always want to, you know, cross time zones and sort of say across centuries or decades. And I feel like you look around the league and where they play now, we were playing like that in 95.
We were shooting a lot of threes, and that's one of the reasons, because they moved the 3-point line and that shit was easy. I feel like that 95 team we were playing in this day and era. I look at us as like, well, almost like the Sixers or you know, even because they had a big point guard. We used Clyde as a big point guard, and we would just get up and down the court. And when we needed a bucket, they had Embiid. We had Dream. So it'd have been fun to see if we could, you know, transport us to this current time, that 95 team, and see what we could do.
Rob, they ain't going to see us, bro. They ain't want to see us. No. We got guys that play both ends, not one end of the court. We got 4 or 5 wing guys that play defense and offense. So they didn't want to see us, bro. They didn't want to see us.
Y'all hit too hard. They don't want to see you. Y'all hit just too hard.
Clyde, good defense player. You did good. Me and Dream. And then when Sam came in, we had 5 good defensive players. I know Kenny was the only one that was kind of suspect.
Other than that. Oh, damn. Calling out Kenny.
Them not knees, Kenny. You can't slide with knees, man.
We love Kenny, though, because Kenny saved us in game one. He saved us in game one.
He did, that big shot. Yeah.
Kenny and Nick Anderson saved us in game one.
Yeah.
How does Nick not hit one of those free throws, man? Not one.
I know, right? That's crazy, right?
Was it 4 in a row, right?
He's a great, good player.
Yeah. I mean, that's a wild story, but yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's wild. All right, listen, Mario, we'll let you jump. We really appreciate your time, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great to hear the stories.
Tell the wifey I said hi.
For sure.
The kids, I said, what's up? I know they probably get ready to ball out for AAU this summer. Are you going to Phoenix?
My son is going to Brewster Academy for post grad. So we've been working with Lucas, man. He's looking good. He had a great year this year. You know, I'm a dad of triplets.
Oh, yes. Wow.
You know, yes. My middle son is going to Arizona State just for school. And my daughter's going to UT to Macomb, study business. Okay. And Gasson is the hooper. So he wants to go to Brewster to sort of try to boost his recruiting. You know,
okay.
So he's having a great summer with Lucas. So look out for him. Gasson Ellie, baby.
All right.
All right.
I love that name. I love that name. You know, All right, Mario. We appreciate you, my brother. You know,
yeah,
much
man.
Love.
Sorry,
you know,
family. Hit me up whenever you need me, fam.
All right.
All
same
right.
Here,
up with you, fella.
All right.
Good luck, Atlanta. I don't know. Good luck.
We don't know either. We're all holding on.
All right, boss man.
Thanks. At y'all. Y'all be good, man.
All right,
thanks,
now.
Mario.
Hey, it's Robert Ory, and at Simple Mobile, you get the no contract advantage. You can get a powerful nationwide 5G network all without a contract. Simple Mobile. Out with the old, in with the simple.
5G capable device and SIM required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. 5G network not available in all areas. 5G upload speeds not yet available.
All right, well, we teased this at the beginning of the show. And by the way, Mario Elie was awesome. Thank you for booking
him.
He was so good. Damn. I am on a quest now. It is my quest. We will get everybody from the 95 Rockets, damn it. We're going to do it. It's going to happen.
It's death, baby.
Yeah.
I guess Sam Cassell's next on this because he got time. He can't go nowhere. He's just sitting in the hotel while they're in the playoffs. So we get Sam on next.
There you go. Get Sam.
Oh, you make it seem like Sam ain't doing nothing.
Well,
you make it seem like
doing,
Sam ain't
Doc
doing
Rivers
nothing.
Doc Rivers doing all the work.
Oh, no, that ain't what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Sam up and down that sideline telling guys where to be. Hey, you need to be here. You need to be. It's still like Sam doing a whole lot to me.
No, Sam. Actually, you know what? Me being really good friends with Sam, he has a great basketball mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so he deserves I thought he would get that Houston Rockets job, but they didn't give it to him. So hopefully he get the Boston Celtics job.
Oh,
so
well. Speaking of the Boston Celtics, apparently the Kyrie Irving injury was karma's payback, according to Big Baby Davis, who had was a little bit wild on social media. Is catching a lot of criticism for dropping this about Kyrie.
Everybody mad at me because Kyrie Irving stepped on Lucky and Lucky got his get back. Don't get mad at me because Lucky got his get back. I didn't say nothing. You know what I'm saying? Karma is a motherfucker. I don't care if it's a logo. I don't even care if it's a logo. I play for the Celtics. I'm a Celtic forever. Stop getting mad.
Turn right.
Because your man got weak ankles. His ankles is weak. His ankles is fucked up, and Lucky got his ass.
So apparently, the fictional white leprechaun got his ass.
Now, where was Siri or whoever taking him. I was taking him to Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, Krispy Kreme, the gym, maybe.
No.
We know we're taking him to the gym.
I ain't taking him to the gym. Any of the other candidates are a maybe, you know? But no, he ain't going to the gym. But I don't know. I have a big problem in believing in – this is going to sound weird. I'm a believer in everything happens for a reason, but I'm not a big buyer into – you did something wrong, and now karma's coming to get you. Like, I think there's an idea that, well, what goes around comes around. If you want to be a good person, you can get good attitude and response. But, like, in sports, oh, he stepped on the logo, and then he got hurt. That's karma. Mm-hmm. I don't buy into that shit.
I don't buy in, because if you really sit down, you really think about it, you know a lot of good people who bad things have happened to, and you know a lot of bad people who never get any bad stuff to happen to them. Yep. So I'm not a big believer in karma. You know, I believe what would be will be. It's just we can choose our destiny and we take care of that. We should be fine. But there's a lot of things, you know, that are going to happen, and that has nothing to do with karma.
No.
Leprechauns aren't real, folks.
No, well, it's a logo hold on the floor. Wait a minute. No, they're not. You're right. I'm sorry. But it's like, my thing is,
we've seen some people who look like little leprechauns running around here, but hold on.
Why are you bringing up Danny Ainge again? Shit. Every week he comes up on the show.
Hold on, Rob. Don't go too far with that. Don't step too far out on that ledge.
Hey, think about it. We just saw a spaceship crash in the ocean.
All right.
Who knows? There might be some leprechauns.
Well, until an actual man steps on a leprechaun. Real leprechaun,
nice.
I'm not part of the crowd that is sit up that takes so much pride in a logo. I'm not. I don't care.
Is there a mascot or a logo you would fight for? Like if someone went after somebody or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Big Al, man. Come on. You should even know that before you said that. Big Al, man. Yeah, Roll Tide. Come on, man. You should have known that. Hey, so it's that's the thing when you talk about school pride. I talk about Andy the Bulldog. That's Andalusia Bulldogs, my high school. You fight for your Bulldog. You fight for, you know, you fight for your college, because think of these are places you went where you weren't getting paid to go. And it's just you had the passion and love to represent your school.
Wink, wink.
You know, yeah. When you have passion and love to represent the organization, it has a little financial matters that come into that, too. So I think the college and high school levels, those are the ones you fight for. Other ones, you know, you fight for them if you're a lifer. Like Tim Duncan can fight for the Spurs logo. Kobe can fight for the Lakers logo. Everybody else who's been on multiple teams, like Big Baby, you can't fight for that logo.
You don't play for everybody. It's like
around, man. Yeah. Wait, so just because you run a championship there, I get it, you know.
Okay, so that was my next question. So he was on that 08 team that won, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think so, yes.
And this could just be me, and correct me if I'm wrong. That 08 Celtics team, they've been milking that title. They seem like the team that has literally, when it comes to so many things, and no disrespect, because I know I can only imagine how hard it is to win one title, but they seem like they've been milking that cow for years with numerous things. And I'm like, how much can you get? I don't want to. Doc Rivers, no disrespect, really good coach, but he been getting a lot of these coaching gigs because he really been milking that 08 title.
Yeah. You know, and like if he doesn't do well in Philly, this one of the guys, this should be your last job.
No, he'll be the next coach of the Lakers, probably.
Yeah.
The way this is going, why not?
And it has, you know, and when I say that, it has nothing to do with the individuals. I just feel like you just can't keep recycling coaches. Give someone else a chance. That's all I'm saying when I say that. I'm not talking bad about any coaches by far. I'm saying give someone else a chance. But, yeah, you know what? I'm going to start milking every championship I ever won.
You got seven of them. Why not?
Yeah.
every 10 years, I'm a milk one. Let's see. You got coming up 10 years. What's coming in 90?
You have to have an anniversary somewhere. I mean, I got too damn many of them.
And guess what? When you get into the hall, you can milk that for life.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I will. Trust me. I might get a tattoo on me somewhere.
Because guess what? Guess who else going to try to make? We are too. Me and Rob.
Y'all coming with me, man. We're going. We are going.
Y'all coming with me.
We are going. I don't know what we'll do or how we'll get in. I might be sitting outside, but damn, I'm going. Shit, I'm going.
We all going.
Speaking of Hall of Famers, Charles Barkley. This threw me. We talked about TNT earlier in the show, but this kind of threw me. Apparently, there was an article posted on a site. I think it was called MySanAntonio.com. Mm-hmm. His name, that took aim at Charles and his fat girl jokes that he would make about the women of San Antonio. And he is no, he's been, I mean, Charles has been doing this for 15 years on TNT.
A long time.
Forever. Well, given today's environment of people being super sensitive, TNT comes to him and goes, look, no more. You can't joke about this anymore. We don't talk about it anymore. Now, this wasn't an expose in like the Washington Post or some shit. This was an article on a blog, basically. And TNT went, nope, no more. Okay, we're not doing it anymore. So now Charles admitted on the air this week, he was on a sports talk show, that TNT told him no more fat girl jokes about the women of San Antonio. Are we just not allowed to have fun anymore? Even if it's in good spirited fun, it's been doing it for 15 years, can't do it.
You know, I can understand if Charles was coming from a place of, you know, anger or being mean, but he's just trying to be funny. You know,
right.
That's going to pretty much, you're going to disallow every comedian out there to say anything bad about anybody. And think about it. Charles talks about his weight all the time. He makes fun of his weight.
All the time. You know,
I can understand he was like a little skinny mini. He was like, yeah, I'm skinny. I'm fit. And
they crap on
there.
His weight all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. The whole panel.
But I'm not going to lie. My wife she just left, but she's probably going to hear this a little bit later. But don't get me wrong. Hey, San Antonio got some fine women there. So I don't know what Charles be hanging out
in.
But when I played there, there were some head lookers there. There were some head turners. I was like, wow. I was shocked at how many, you know, because you hear people like, oh, San Antonio, this thing. But there was a lot of good looking women in San Antonio. So
Southern women.
Yeah.
Southern women.
So Charles is hanging out in the wrong place. So,
well, yeah, you know, part of it is with me. I think that this started as a gag, and then he got a laugh out of everybody. And like any good comic, you go back to the joke that you know kills, and he did it. So it reminded me of a couple years ago when he had to do an on-air apology to the women of San Antonio. So I'll just bring this back with a laugh.
I want to apologize to the women of San Antonio because Ernie.
What happened? What happened to prompt this? This has been going on for a good
Ernie,
12 years.
I had churros last night. I see what all the excitement is about. I had churros last night.
Talk to him, Tuck. Talk to him. What was they like?
Them damn thing good, Ernie. Them churros good. I see why they got all the big old women down there. Man, them churros on the bone.
Don't break the set.
Tell y'all, man.
Oh, God.
Hey, it's weird, but
I love that.
When you hear a guy from Alabama talk, you can pick up on certain things. And when he said that, I said, oh, shit, the Alabama came out of him. But I ain't gonna lie. That's the one thing I do when we go to Disney. That's the first thing I do. I give you a churro.
Oh,
them
man.
Things are good.
They're like $14 or some shit at Disney too, aren't they? They're like super expensive. Yeah,
they are expensive, but shit, they're good. Oh, man, they didn't like some good churros.
Rest in peace to a very good, an amazing moment. Anytime he mentioned the big women of San Antonio and the churros, it brought tears to my eyes because I'm sitting there
so
laughing. RIP. And look, I'm looking at it from this standpoint. You know, TNT, that Inside the NBA is one of the greatest shows ever to grace TV. And for so many different reasons. And Charles is a huge reason for that.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people who watch it for Charles. So if it just sucks that you're taking away one of the things that he loves to say. And I understand, look, people are going to be offended. You're going to have people here and there. No one's going to be 100% anything. But a lot of people loved it because they knew he wasn't coming from anywhere malicious.
Oh,
it was a joking matter.
Yeah.
And guys loved it. And the fact that they're taking this away from them, I don't know. Like, when you take these things away from guys like that who work in this field, it takes away the fun that they can have. And you just don't know what's next. You going to run him out of the studio next?
We both know that that's only going to last to the end of this season. This should be back next season.
Give it a break for a couple months. He's going to crack a joke just to get his bosses.
As soon as San Antonio is allowed to be on national television, think about it. San Antonio wasn't even on one national televised game. So as soon as they're back on national televised, and they have to be on a TNT. Oh, Chuck's going to talk about it.
I got
to bring it up.
I got to go down. He won't say big old woman. I got to go down there and visit my friends and give me some more of them churros.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing I do need him to stop doing when it came to the churros, though, I do want him to end this.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a bad visual.
I need him to stop doing that.
It's a bad visual.
I need him to stop doing
that. It really is a bad visual.
Hey, he might have put a shake wake in his hand, huh?
Sure.
When he did that on the set, I know y'all can't see me do it, but when he did that, I was like, I'm going to need you to never do that again.
Yeah, no.
It's a lot of people who've done that movement, and you look at him like, hold on now.
Yeah, wait a minute. Hold on.
You don't need to be doing that on national television. No, no.
Well, speaking of things that should not be happening.
And I think you know what I'm talking about, B-Hop. Hey, a certain look, player man. Who won a championship.
We moving
doing
on.
That in the locker room. We're like, hey, hey, don't do that.
Uh-uh. It's not just when you come. Like, it's how hard you come.
Right. See, there's things that you shouldn't do on national television, which leads us to this week's edition of That's Unfortunate. Now, I have two clips for you. In the first one, we're going to play a quick game called What the Hell is Bill de Blasio Doing? So we've had fun with Bill de Blasio on the show before.
That's not basketball.
When he went after Trae Young. Bill de Blasio hits the podium as the mayor of New York City. And this is what we get. Do either of you know what he's doing here?
I want to just take a bite here. I'll tell you what it feels like. Mmm. 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 I didn't know it would be this delicious.
Any guesses on what the hell Bill de Blasio was doing?
I say he was probably eating a churro.
That's a good guess.
No.
Good guess. B, you got a guess on what Bill de Blasio is doing as he moans ominously from the podium?
Was it a happy ending?
well, he was eating pizza, so it might have been a happy ending. Bill de Blasio was unveiling the ranked choice ballot pizza topping winner in New York, which best pizza topping in New York. Any thoughts on what won?
It probably something like freaking pineapples or something you put on a pizza, or anchovies, something that don't belong.
B-Dog, best pizza topping.
I would think for most people, it's nothing. It's just cheese.
Okay. Pepperoni was the winner. Okay. Pepperoni.
That's one of my favorites. I think it was pepperoni because I love a good pepperoni pizza.
But just the noises he's making during this whole thing is really off-putting.
I want to just take a bite here. I'll tell you what it feels like.
I'll tell you what it feels like.
Okay. Hey, I'm just glad he didn't say, oh, that feels good going down my throat. Oh,
yeah, exactly. He didn't make the Kevin Harlan noise. We didn't get that.
What it feels like? Not what it tastes like.
What it feels like. And then moans ominously for 20 seconds.
Hey, man.
All right, well.
Get y'all mayor, man.
The second clip. There's been a lot of buzz in Major League Baseball about how the baseballs are being handled, whether they're being got sticky on them or what. There's been a lot of buzz about that in Major League Baseball. Well, the great Pedro Martinez is part of Major League Baseball Network's programming. And when you get Pedro on a little bit of a side topic that maybe he's not prepared for, his English isn't the best, so maybe he didn't feel this one out all the way before he went on national TV.
Pause.
And he said this.
Guess what? It's my game, and I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up. And if you didn't do a good job at rubbing the balls the way I wanted them, and I didn't feel like I was comfortable, I was going to do whatever.
So
that's what got Robert Kraft in trouble. That's what got all them folk caught up. That's the issue there.
About how you rub your balls.
That's what got them caught up.
Yeah.
Man, Pedro is funny. So I want you guys and the people listening at home to go find the clip of us on Family Feud. It's NBA versus MLB. And Steve Harvey, he says, so Pedro, tell us about the pitches. He said, I got three bitches. Oh. And I just, like, he kept saying bitches. And Steve Harvey looked like, what?
Wait, what? And here's what I do with my bitches. What?
And then he said, and the other one, he says, rhymes, he says, say something that rhymes with yummy. And Pedro goes, Miami.
Oh, God.
So if y'all have to Google
Pedro.
MLB versus NBA Family Feud and listen to Pedro.
How long ago was this that you were over there?
This is like 3 years ago, right before the pandemic hit.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
Well, I missed that one. I watched Family Feud a lot.
Yeah. Family Feud, too.
And I dictate how I want my balls to be rubbed up.
By the three bitches.
By the three bitches. All right. Well, let's wrap it up this week. Big shot of the week this week is going to go to two unnamed Pasco County Sheriff's deputies. And this is a town, by the way, just north of Tampa, Florida. They were called on a routine loitering call. There was a guy loitering around behind the gas station. When they arrived, they realized the guy was kind of down on his luck, and he wasn't wearing any shoes. So what do these two deputies do? They go buy him a pair of shoes. Check this out. This is pretty awesome.
You ain't got shoes, my dude? All right, man.
You be all right?
Yeah. All right.
You ate food?
Mm-hmm.
You hungry?
Yeah.
Let me see what I can do. Here you go, my man. You got a hoagie. Okay?
Okay.
You got shoes and you got food. All right, you good? You're welcome. Have a good day.
Have a good one, man.
I ran to Walmart and bought him shoes. I can't let a human being walk around with no shoes.
Yeah, usually those calls just end with them kind of carting a guy off or shooing him away, and that's it, and have a good night. They bought him shoes. They bought him food. They made sure he was taken care of and then kind of put him on his way. But I just thought that was a really cool – and all that audio, by the way, comes from the officer's body cam. So it wasn't like they were putting it out just to put it out. But I thought that was really cool.
Was that in New Jersey? Where was that at?
Pasco County, Florida, just north of Tampa. Yeah, just north of Tampa.
So, you know, it seems – that's one of the things that I always tell just about the media. The media would not bring that to light. And so there's so many things that, you know, that are done out of the goodness of people's heart, but it doesn't get noticed because it's not, you know, sensationalism where people are like, oh, I don't watch that. That's a good hearted thing. I don't give me something that's going to get me riled up and pissed off.
Show me the video of them beating that guy's ass and tasing him. That's the one that's going to make the news.
And that's the thing that, you know, I have a lot of friends that are officers of the law, and you got a lot of guys that are good guys. And I don't know what nationality those guys were, but, you know, there's good guys. And so when stuff like this happens, it makes me, you know, it affirms the fact that there are people out there that aren't bad. There are people who have a heart and they're good. So we need to just, you know, put more out there, and hopefully, you know, people can, you know, look at this and say, okay, maybe I can do the same.
No, there's good people out there. And it's funny you said that too, because we try to do this big shot of the week every week, just acknowledge somebody who did something great, incredible, uplifting. And I have to hunt for those stories. I got to look for, I mean, I got to go online. I got websites bookmarked that I know post this stuff. Otherwise you can't find it.
Right.
It's just not out there.
If you're something bad, you can find that shit with a snap of a finger.
Oh, you search like guy tased, 85 stories comes up. You know, police buy a guy's shoes and a sandwich. You can't find anything.
Right.
And that's one of the things I would love for these sports shows to have. Take their Sundays or their Saturdays when there's no major sporting event and just talk about all the good that these athletes do in their communities. Something to, you know, harp on that. And I don't want them talking about the LeBrons and the ADs and the Chris Pauls. I want them talking about, you know, the Danny Greens, the Joe Harris, the guys who aren't the upper echelon. So because there's a lot of guys in their position who don't make billions of dollars, who don't have the major sponsors, who go out and do good things for the community. Now, I'm not just talking about basketball. I know the football has it a lot. Baseball has it. So, you know, even with your boy, I did not know, you know, Trey Young does the thing he does, or I didn't know that the Booker does the things he does in the community. And those are things, you know, you don't want to just talk about it during the playoffs. Oh, we need some content. Let's talk about it. No, talk about it all year. Because if you get it, you talk about all year, there's somebody out there watching, some major sponsor like, shit, I got some money I need to use. You know, who gonna do it? Now, oh shit, Trey Young's doing this. Let's give it to Trey Young.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of his basketball camps that he's held down here, and to see the excitement on those kids' faces when they get their, you know, all the little bags. And, you know, obviously, you know, Trey is with Adidas, and Adidas reps are there. They make sure that the kids have everything that they need. And being able to meet Trey Young and take, you know, a lot of things from that camp as far as how to the fundamentals of basketball and how to play a game is really cool.
Yeah. And I'll, you know what? I'll give a shout out to Cam Newton for the same thing.
Yes.
Cameron Newton does a ton of stuff that doesn't go recognized for communities. He played in Carolinas for years, obviously, with the Panthers, does stuff up there. He's from Atlanta, does stuff here in Atlanta, and none of that hits the press. But Cam Newton's always doing that stuff.
Always.
You know? Always. And you just don't hear about a ton of it. So. Yeah, but props to those guys. Good job to those two sheriff's deputies and, you know.
Yeah, big ups.
Hopefully we can continue to find ways to laugh at the big girl from San Antonio,
Any questions this week?
What do you mean, like from fans? No, you know what? Let's do that. BigShotBobPod@gmail.com if you've got a question for Rob.
Yes.
We can deliver that next week for sure. Okay. We got to do that again. Get some more.
I want to hear back from the guy we gave love advice to.
Oh, yeah. We need to get an update from that dude.
Yeah, we need to get him back for you, man. Hey,
all right. Well,
what was his name?
I got to look at it. It's in the email. Back. I got to go look it up.
I want to know how that worked out. Did you get a date?
Yeah.
Did you get ice cream?
The hell happened?
Let us know.
He was trying to hit up with that girl on Zoom because she was flirting with him in the chat. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, this is how this is going to go down. Rob wants to find, he wants to figure out what happened. So if it does work out, now he going to try to make himself have to be a love doctor. Former NBA player, future Hall of Famer turned love doctor, set up these two people.
Next now week's big shot of the week goes to Robert Horry for hooking a dude up on Zoom.
Right.
No, I don't want that. I just want to know how it went, man. I'm nosy.
I got a good idea. And look, ABC and all these other people, if you interested, get in contact with Rob. You can get in contact with me. Big shot at love.
Oh, this might be something.
Big shot at love.
I like this.
I'm just saying, look, we can executive produce it. Rob is the star. You figure out how you want to do it.
What we can do is we can come together and we can say yay and nay on someone. You know, yeah, no, you know, we go out with this person and go out to that person. So yeah, let's do that, man.
I like this.
Let's get us some more work. We can get out of Atlanta.
And you can get a number of NBA stars and celebrities to basically be working on guys, giving them love advice, showing them, you know what I mean? Helping them get a date.
Take your shot.
I like this.
Get you some guys that are in really, you know, Rob has a successful marriage. Get you some other veterans who have successful marriages and are, you know, people see out on the town and they say, okay, hey, they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Help some of these. Yeah. Yeah. Step into another realm. You ain't playing no more.
We'll do a whole show on how to pick up Instagram models hosted by Shaq.
Oh, my God. That's another show.
Hey, I'm like, I don't even look at Instagram, so I'm scared.
It's for the best. It's for the best.
It's like diving down a deep abyss. Like, oh.
Yeah, you're not coming out of it either.
Yeah, no. And if you do, your hands will not be clean.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.